Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. Welcome to House of Black and Gospel Blog Talk Radio, Sunday School, Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Turner Springs, Alabama, 36471. Telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Oliver, Pastor, Sister Joyce Oliver, First Lady. Our clerk is Miss Lisa Stalvis. Sunday school is each Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Worship service is the second, fourth, and fifth Sundays at 11 a.m. Again, we thank you and welcome you to Sunday school for April the 19th, 2020. Justice prevails. Let us go to the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity to teach thy word, Jesus. May we maintain our focus and work with you in leading us in the manner in which we should teach, that we should reach our listeners, that we teach the word in a manner that they would usher them into the presence of God with their word. These are many blessings we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin with what the week lesson is about. It's Sunday, April the 19th, 2020. And it's the large subject is Justice Prevails. Devotional reading going to come out of Luke, the 19th chapter, 11 through the 26th verse. The background scripture is going to come out of Esther, the 3rd chapter, the 5th through the 7th verse. And the printed text will come out of Esther, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10. But before we begin, we want to say to you, during the week, on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and then on Sunday, which is the actual Sunday school lesson, there is some powerful lessons and stories to be told that leads you up to the Sunday school lesson on the April the 19th. It starts on Monday the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, and then on Sunday, the actual Sunday school lesson on the 19th. We're going to go briefly through each one of them. We'll take maybe 20, 30 minutes or so. This is excellent foundational information that will help you better understand the lesson on Sunday. And we will begin with Esther, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Esther, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Mordecai refuses to bow to Haman. Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman. Let us begin. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, then the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Verse number 2. And the king's servant that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Hannah, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not and did not reverence him. Then the king's servant, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Verse 4. Now it came to pass that when they spoke daily unto him, he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Okay, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did Haman reverence him, then was Haman full of wrath. And the last verse, and he thought scorn to lay hand on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai were, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of adversaries, even the people of Mordecai. All right, let's go to the second Esther, the third chapter, verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11, okay? In the month that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, and that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. Verse 8, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king profit to suffer them. Verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that may be destroyed. Let me read that again. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge business to bring it into the king's treasure. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. The Jews' enemy. Then the scribe. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenant, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, which was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And for the 13th verse, and the letters was sent by post unto all the king's province to destroy and kill and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoils of them for prey. Okay, verse number 14. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. Oh, this is awesome, isn't it? Look what he's doing. Okay, let's go to Esther, the 8th chapter, verses 3-8. The decree has been signed and sent out. This is all simply because Haman was angry at Mordecai and he was prejudiced against Jews. So he wanted to kill Mordecai and all the Jews. Let's go to Esther, the 8th chapter, verses 3-8. And in this, the decree against the Jews is struck down. The decree against the Jews is struck down. Esther 8, 3:8-16-17. Verse 3, and Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. She just couldn't walk up and start talking to the king. She had to get permission to approach to talk to the king. All right. Verse number 5. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letter devised by Haman, the son of Hamadiah, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. Verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindreds? Destruction of her kindreds. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hands upon the Jews. And verse 8, write ye also for the Jews as it is likened you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Okay? Let's look at 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. This is the decree against the Jews. It's being struck down. 16 and 17. Here we go. 16 says, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. 17, in every providence and in every city, with every, the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Okay. Now let's look at, this is, we are up to Friday now, Festival of Purim established. This is Esther, the 9th chapter, verses 18 through 23 and 29 through 32. This is a festival. This will be Esther, the 9th chapter. Esther, the 9th chapter, verses 18 through 23. All right. The Feast of Purim inaugurated, starting at 18. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same day rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. 19. Therefore the Jews of the village that dwelt in the unwalled town made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. All right. Then number 20 says, and Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the providence of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same year, as the days wherein the Jews rested upon their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And 23 verse says, and the Jews understood And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. All right. The last one, Mordecai advances welfare of the Jews. Mordecai advances the welfare of the Jews. This is Esther, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Mordecai is given great authority. It has totally turned from Haman had planned, and God has an awesome way of turning things around. Okay, let's look at the last one. Mordecai is given a great authority. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. And all the acts of his power and his might and the declaration of greatness of Mordecai whereunto the king advanced him, and they were written in the book of the chronicles of the king of Mordecai and Persia. Awesome. Look at that. Look at that. And finally, verse 3. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Oh man, Mordecai is given great authority. Now for the Sunday school lesson, Esther's plea and Haman's punishment is Esther, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 9. This is the actual Sunday school lesson as we begin. All right. We are in the spring quarter 2020 in Unit 2, God Promises a Just Kingdom. This will be lesson number 8 for April the 19th, 2020. Our devotional reading will come from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 26. Our background scripture will come from Esther, the 3rd chapter, 5 through 7. And the print passage coming from Esther, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Our key verse for this Sunday school lesson: they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Esther, the 7th chapter, and the 10th verse, King James Version. All right, justice prevails is the new subject. Is the big subject. Justice prevails. The lesson aimed as a result of experiencing this lesson, the person should be able to do these things. Exploit the story of Esther as a triumph of justice. Since the treachery will not win. Third, commit to acting justly in every situation with the assurance that God triumphs over evil. All right. Key terms: Enoch, a Hebrew, chamberlain, court of officers, gallows, plank, stick, wood. It is a structure in which they hang criminals, the pole. And then petition, Hebrews, request a thing, ask for. All right. Let's see. We're going to begin by reading the lesson in focus, and then we'll read why the lesson matters last. Here we go. The lesson in focus: the law of reciprocity of the law, that's reciprocating of the law of sowing and reaping, is clearly taught in the Word of God. Simply summarized, it means that we will receive as a result of what we give or do. The scripture makes it clear that we might receive the same thing that was given, or what we need in exchange for prioritizing God's will in our lives. One of the most explicit examples of reciprocity, coming right back to you, reciprocity, is the New Testament of Galatians 6, 7, and 10. Then Paul makes it clear that we will receive, reap, You're going to reap what you sow. This is what this is all about. And kind, what we have sown without respect of person. This is both encouraging and divine warning at the same time. Giving or sowing done selflessly to please God positioned us to be blessed even more to use for His holy, use for His glory and for His good of others. See Luke the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. On the other hand, we are warned that sowing seeds of injustice and wickedness results in receiving His judgment and condemnation. We may struggle with remaining focused on this principle when it appears that the perpetrators of evil and injustice appear to prosper and continue unchecked. God's word and His faithfulness to it are the same, are the sources of encouragement and motivation needed to remain confident that justice will prevail. His words contain multiple passages that teach that the futility of the wicked to extract or destroy God's people and the wicked ultimate demise by the same means they plotted for others. Perhaps one of the most familiar of these is the example of Haman in the book of Esther, which we just got through talking to you about. The gallows that he built for Mordecai, he was hanged upon it. The lesson in context. Two of the unique features of the book of Esther is that the name of God is not mentioned in it, and that that is one of only two books in the Bible named for women. And you know those two books are Ruth and Esther. Although God's name is not mentioned, His divine presence and providence are evident. The book is named for its principal characters, Esther. Esther's authorship has been attributed to Mordecai, Esther's adopted guardian, Ezra, and Nehemiah. The book was probably written between 485 and 435 B.C. during the reign of Ahasuerus, of Persia. Ahasuerus the 11th of Persia. The event in this book revealed the danger that Jewish exiles who remained in Persia faced, even though they had been granted permission to return to Palestine and Jerusalem. The particular incident in this lesson printed text involved the scheming Haman, a descendant of Agag, king of the Amalekites, was shaped by centuries of old feud between Agagite and the tribes of Benjamin. See 1 Samuel 15. King Saul, a Benjamite, disobeyed Samuel's command to annihilate the Amalekites and their king. Samuel finally hacked Agag to pieces, and it is believed that this was the source of Haman's insatiable hostility toward the Jews. The Amalekites were eventually destroyed by God and prophesied, and His promise to preserve the Jews prevail. In Esther, we see the covenant promise vividly illustrated as the wicked fall victim to their devices against the people of God. All right. Let's look at insight. The drama recorded in the book of Esther mirrors our word and nation. Racial hatred then and now is led to scheming ways to discredit and annihilate others because of their ethnicity. As King Ahasuerus was cunningly deceived, there were those in place of authority who had devoid of true sense of justice and will bend the law in favor of those who can reward them or deceive them. This has caused despair among those who are deeply concerned about social justice issues in their communities. The book of Esther, however, is a reputable source of encouragement and reassurance of the principles that the wicked and the unjust will be punished. Elsewhere in God's word, it is taught that and illustrated that those who dig pits intended of evil for others will fall victim to them themselves. See Proverbs 28 and 10, Psalm 7, 15 and 16, Ecclesiastes 10 and 8. 2. In the context of the lesson, it is proven that God will continue to preserve the Jew despite circumstances because his covenant promise to Abraham. He will do the same for those who are his children by the new birth through Jesus Christ. As we survey the landscape of society, it may seem impossible that justice will one day prevail, but it will. What God's people must do is continue to build and maintain an intimate and obedient relationship with our God and trust his faithfulness in one day to one day establish eternal and just kingdom. See Revelation 21. Follow the exploration. This lesson can be used to encourage and provide assurance that those that are listening are deeply concerned over the widespread occurrence of social justice and the fact that those who perpetuate it seem to prosper unpunished. This is an excellent example of appropriate ways to challenge and to successfully help justice prevail for those to whom justice has been denied. As you study the lesson content, assist and make sure to identify these principles. Undergird your plans with fasting and prayer, implied in Esther 4:16-17. Do your homework, follow the established protocol system, and respect those in authority. The lesson is an excellent illustration of favorite passages that teach you reap what you sow. You might also choose to engage in a scripture search to identify specific passages directly or indirectly that teach this principle to you. It is very important. Okay. Let us last focus on why this lesson matters. Ignoble people often seem to attain great powers and wealth. What evidence is there that people will receive the recompenses that their evil deeds deserve? The story of Esther triumphs over Haman provides assurance that evil does not prevail. Evil does not prevail. All right. Esther the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Esther the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let us begin. The actual Sunday school lesson. Esther the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? What is thy request, and it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom? Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in the sight of king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. And verse 4, For we are sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if I had been sold for bondsman and bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. That's the first outline, Esther the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let's get some liquids. I thought it was a little bit dry. Okay. Let us continue. When we get to the events of Esther the 7th chapter, several foundational events have occurred. Esther becomes the queen of Persia. The second chapter, verses 1 through 18. Mordecai, her uncle, saves the king's life. That's the second chapter, 12 through 23. Haman is promoted by the king, and he subsequently plots to destroy the Jews. Mordecai discovers the plot and informs Esther, and she plans to intercede. 4:1-17. This is all Esther, 4:1-17. Esther sets her plans in motion. This is in the 5th chapter, verses 1-8. Haman plots to kill Mordecai. The 5th chapter, 9-14. The king discovers Mordecai's loyalty and honors him. Esther, the 6th chapter, verses 1-4. Haman is warned of his impending doom by his wife and his wise friends, and hastily brought to the feast planned by Esther to expose the treachery. It is the second day after finishing the meal, and while relaxing over the wine, the king repeats his request that she reveals what has been troubling her. This is verses 1 and 2. Notably, he addresses her as Queen Esther, a hint that he officially recognized her station in the situation. As we should when making requests before those in authority, Esther returns the appropriate deferential address, verses 3. Her requests and petition were that her life and the lives of her people be spared. It is obvious that the king was unaware of her nationality before this revelation. She revealed that she and her people had been sold to be killed, annihilated, and destroyed. These were the exact words used in the decree induced by Haman. Apparently, Esther had strategically planned her plea beforehand and had built a solid case against Haman's scheme. She balanced emotion with reason, a necessary element when seeking to correct issues dealing with social injustice. Esther made it clear that Haman had not just passed an edit to enslave her and her people, but to destroy them. She claimed that if that were the case, she would not have brought the issue before him. Esther's courage, respect for protocol and authority are commendable and worthy of emulating. In other words, do it the right way. Respect authorities. Do things the right way. When attempts are being made to bring about change for the better, she literally puts her life in her own hand, not knowing if the king would grant her request to dispose of her as he had, as her predecessor, Vahasi. There is no explicit mention of Jewish religious rites. Her call for 3 days of fasting prior to going before the king suggests faith and dependence of God's providential care for his people. All right. Okay, let's go to the a couple of questions for you. How could Esther's intervention strategy be used to address an unjust situation in your local environment? Now, that gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. Real-life situation. How could Esther's intervention strategy be used to advise an unjust situation in your local environment? How can that be done? Suppose you had an unjust situation taking place. What would you do? How would you do it? How would you deal with it? Esther's plan of how she did it is the next example. All right. Let's go to Esther, the 7th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Then the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that doeth presume in his heart to do so. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is the wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of Haman's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Oh man, Haman is in trouble, I would say. All right. Just as the king turned from the palace garden to banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Father Esther was reclining. Had him weak, couldn't it? He see that what he had planned for Mordecai, the tables was finna turn. All right. Rather than becoming furious and dismissing her, the moment of truth arrived, and Esther was asked to reveal who was responsible for doing such a thing to her and her people. Esther exposed Haman not only as the wicked person behind the plot, but also as an enemy and foe. Pulling the mask of Haman revealed his true character for the king and terrified him. Where he once stood as a trusted servant of the most powerful man on earth at that time, Esther now stood, the king filled with rage, left the banquet hall and went into the palace garden, leaving Esther and Haman together there, though not alone. Haman seized this an opportunity to plead for mercy from Esther in a futile attempt to save his life. The arrogant, boastful bully is now a fearful coward. In his terrified state, he fell on the couch where Esther was reclining, just as the king returned to the banquet hall. Haman's action was interpreted by the king as an attempt to molest his queen, and he accused him of doing so. This in itself was a capital crime and further sealed his impending death sentence. Haman's face was covered by the guards present in the banquet hall and in for a ritual for condemned criminals. Haman's fall is an excellent example of what can happen when attempts are made to trample others on the way up the ladder to fame, fortune, and prestige. Some of the same ones misused on the way up may be the same one needed to help when circumstances are reversed. God will defend the righteous through his protection is not supernatural. God will defend the righteous, though his protection is not a supernatural force field shielding them from danger. He has promised that nothing and no one can separate his people from his love. See Romans the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 39. Deuteronomy 31, 6, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, Isaiah 41 and 10. God hates injustice. Let me repeat that. God hates injustice. See Proverbs 6:16 through 19, 17, and 15. He will punish it. See Jeremiah 22 and 13, Proverbs 22 and 8. He will avenge all wrongs someday, as seen in Haman's fate. Oh man, God hates injustice. Look at that. God don't like when other people are being dogged out. He do not like it when other people are being dogged out. And a question for you. What example have you witnessed of schemers becoming victim of their schemes? I have witnessed it in my personal own life. I have witnessed it in my own personal own life. Scheme that was plotted to do me in, the reversal took place with somebody else, and it was done when I was a worker at Holman Prison there in Atmore. A sergeant schemed to get me fired, and to use me as a example for him to climb up and to become lieutenant. But it was reversed when the trap that he had set for me, he fell into the trap himself. All right. Let's go to Esther, the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 10. This is the final outline. And Habernar, one of the chambermen, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows, 50 cubit feet high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standing in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." Just that quick. So they hang Haman on the gallows that had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6 and 7. The NIV. Haman reaped exactly what he sowed. His attitude toward Mordecai and the Jews and his desire to annihilate them became the source of his ultimate downfall. His boasting of killing Mordecai on a 75-foot gallows was apparently common knowledge among the king's servants in the palace. Harbona, one of the palace eunuchs, informed the king of this structure and its intended victim, Mordecai, whom the king had recently honored. Without hesitation, the king commanded that Haman be impaled on it. The command was obeyed, and Haman's execution was carried out, abating the king's anger. Delays in immediate judgment and punishment of those guilty of promoting social injustice against the cultural and ethnic diverse, the poor, and the oppressed may be discouraging, but it should not cause loss or weakening of the faith in the promise of God. His long suffering in this area may embolden the hearts of the wicked, Ecclesiastes 8:11, but he has promised that they will not go unpunished. That's in Proverbs 6 and 5. No deed, good or evil, goes unnoticed by our omnipresent God. Justice will prevail, because God sees and knows everything. Justice will prevail, because he said it will. The responsibility of his people is to continue trust and to sow to the Spirit so they will reap everlasting life in his kingdom. Galatians 6 and 8. Oh, powerful lesson. All right, as we get ready to leave you, this is much shorter than last week's lesson. I'm thankful to my daughter for some pointers as to how to deal with the lesson in a manner that does not be repetitive in the information, and we hope we accomplish that. Now, next week's lesson for Sunday, April the 26th, 2020, is What Goes Around Comes Around. The devotional reading is going to come from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. The background scripture is going to be Isaiah 61, verse 8, 62, and verse 12. And the printed text is going to come from Isaiah the 61st chapter, 8 through 11, the 62nd chapter, and 2-4a. And make sure that you read Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as well as Sunday's preparation lesson for the Sunday school lesson, which is what goes around comes around. All right, let us do a closing prayer. Dear God, we are encouraged by your promise that evil will reap its own reward and that your justice will prevail. Help us to live out this truth as an example of fairness. Help us to live out this truth as an example of fairness and righteous living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church here in Tunnel Spring, we want to thank you all for being with us today, and we will see you next week. Hope you hear us next week, God willing, for our Sunday school lesson, What Goes Around Comes Around. Again, thank you.